Canto 24. In that part of the young year when the sun enters Aquarius to comb the hair it shakes loose, and the long nights have begun to turn south, when the frost is lying there, a copy of its sister, the pure snow, except the pen's point soon grows blunt, the white is warmed away, and he, the shepherd, so annoyed when he woke up to the chill sight of snowy fields and thought he could not go for fodder, slapped his thigh and back inside his house went to and fro to curse his fate like some poor wretch with doubt in every stride of what to do next. But the altered state strikes him when he goes out again. The rime has melted. The whole world has changed its face, and hope returned in such a little time. He grasps his staff, and out into the place that shines no longer white, he drives his sheep to pasture. Thus my master hurt my heart, because his brow was clenched and furrowed deep, but then the poultice came to soothe the smart. For when we reached the ruined bridge, right then he turned to me with that sweet smile I'd seen when first I saw the mountain's foot. And when he'd made a plan and picked the ruins clean with his glance, he spread wide his arms for me and held me. And as one who works and weighs and reckons and provides beforehand, he, while lifting me to one rock, bent his gaze upon another's suitability to make its top a step. "Take that one there. But first," he said, "see if it takes your weight." A mantle here was not the thing to wear. Though he was light and I was pushed, a great effort was needed going crag to crag, and if the slope had been long on that dike as on the other, he'd have seen me flag. For him, I don't know what that climb was like. Since all of Malebolge dips towards the inmost pit, the lie of every trench makes one side low. Where the last stone affords a broken-off arrival point, this bench I sat on with lungs bursting through my chest from pain and thought, "No further." "Now you must," my guide said, "quell the slothful urge to rest. A swansdown seat and a soft blanket just keep you from fame, without which no one who consumes his life leaves more trace in the world than smoke in air and foam on water do. Therefore arise, with your soul's flag unfurled above your fear, for so your soul prevails in every battle if the body's weight can't sink it, and your enterprise entails a longer stair yet to a higher state. Just to have left these spirits here is not sufficient. If you understand me now, do what you must, get more than you have got." I rose then, trying hard as I knew how to prove my breath was easy, and said, "Go, for I am strong and brave." We took our way up through the jagged narrows, twisted, slow, of this ridge steeper than the last. To stay alert, or seem to, I talked as we went, at which a voice from the next ditch was heard, unable to say clearly what it meant. But I, up on the transverse arch's crown already, knew that anger moved his speech. Over the dark I bent my keen gaze down. The dark went down too far for eyes to reach the bottom. So I questioned, "What if we go on to the next bank and down its wall? Because from here my hearing's doomed to be one long misunderstanding, and for all I see when I look down, there's nothing there." "My one reply," my guide said, "is to do what you suggest. The answer to a fair request should be the silent deed." We too descended at the bridge's end, which meets the eighth bank, and from there the ditch was clear to my view, and the memory defeats my words and chills my blood with coiling fear. I saw a writhing mass of every kind of serpent, and each kind was very strange. Lucan in Libya could never find their equal in those hot sands to arrange his catalogue of snakes to seize the mind, including those with one head at each end. No, desert lands have no plagues on this scale for poisoned multiplicity. Nor send to Ethiopia to see the like, nor sail the Red Sea searching all its regions. These, for cruelty and squalor, were as bad as snakes can get. and through this heaving sleaze ran people naked, terrified, who had no hope of hiding place or to be made invisible by heliotrope. Their hands were tied behind with snakes, which slickly laid their heads and tails between the thighs, leg bands knotted in front. And look! A serpent sprang on one who shared our bank and hit the point where neck meets shoulder, and the serpent's fang started a fire precisely at the joint which spread as fast as you write I or O with just one stroke, until he sank to ash, and on the ground the dust reversed its flow, gathered itself together in a flash. He was himself again. So they concur, all the great sages, that the phoenix dies, and straightway is born again, in her 500th year, and in that time denies herself all herbs and grain. All she will eat is tears of frankincense and balsam, and spikenards and myrrh supplying her winding sheet. And just as one who can no longer stand, but falls not knowing if the devil's force has dragged him down, or else some vital block that binds a man has been the secret source of weakness, when he rises, stares in shock around him, rattled by his pain and sighs, such was this sinner when he rose again. How stern the power of God that can devise such and so many blows for vengeance! Then my leader asked him who he was. I quote, "From Tuscany I came down like the rain not long ago into this feral throat. A mule I was, a brute I would remain. A man's life didn't please me in the least. I started as a bastard, led the blacks in my town. Vanni Fucci, called the Beast, is my name. If you go back on my tracks, you'll reach my den, Pistoia." Then I said to my guide, "Tell him not to slip away, and ask him what crime weighed so on his head to thrust him down this far, for the display I saw was of a man of rage and blood." The sinner heard, and did not feign, but set his mind and look on me, his face a flood of shame. He said, "I feel more anguish yet, that you have caught me in the misery you see me in than I felt then when I was taken from the other life. For me to leave your question without due reply is not allowed. Down this far I am brought because once in the sacristy of fine adornments when I stole, I had the thought of pinning that crime blasphemously mine on someone innocent. Such was my sport. So now you know. But lest my pain has been too sweet a sight, if ever you get out of these dark regions, add to what you've seen the sound of what I say. Be in no doubt. I speak to you, the white Guelph Florentine. These things will happen. First, Pistoia will thin out the blacks. Then Florence will revive her people and her ways. Mars will fulfill his role for her and find a black to strive. From Val di Magra he will ride to kill against Pistoia's whites. Nicknamed the Mist, he'll bring sad clouds with him, a bitter storm of battle in Piceno's field. The list of horrors will grow long, and the fierce form of flame in a black sky touch every white. I tell you this to haunt you in the night.